News Now Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana. This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. It's about 3 degrees above zero. It's not going to be very warm today. Felt really cold in McEwen Gym last night. Warsaw loses to Concord 56-45 in conference play. Other conference scores, Northwood beat Goshen 48-30. It was Plymouth over Wawasee 49-44. There are two conference games today. Obviously, the rare doubleheader weekend in conference play for Warsaw as they host Goshen. And that will start at 6:15 on the varsity side. The JV game is scheduled for 4:30 today, and you'll hear both on NewsNet Warsaw, followed by the Warsaw girls game against Concord. Mishawaka is at Northridge tonight. Their girls played last night. Northridge beat Mishawaka 74-18. So the boys' conference standings, Northwood is atop the conference at 4-0. Mishawaka is 2-0. Concord is 3-1 after beating the Tigers last night. And then you have a group of three, Warsaw, Northridge, and Wawasee, all 1-2. Plymouth is now 1-3, and Goshen is 0-3, heading into their game this evening against the Tigers. The other girls' games on the schedule for tonight, Concord is at Warsaw. Again, that's the end of the triple header in the Tiger Den tonight. We'll have that for you on News Now Warsaw. Goshen's at Northwood, and Plymouth is at Wawasee. In the conference standings, Warsaw 5-0, Northridge is 5-1. Wawasee is 4-2. Plymouth is 3-3. Northwood's 3-3. Plymouth is 2-3. Concord's 2-4. Goshen is 1-3. And Mishawaka is 0-6. The girls got a couple of big win on Tuesday. They did not play on Thursday. They've got a big game tonight. We'll talk with Lenny Krebs about that when we come back here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake, and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Alderfer Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Alderfer Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Alderfer Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at alderferbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Krebs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing well. Another great day of basketball.
Yes, sir.
A big day for the Lady Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't get to play. Let's go back to last Saturday. You didn't get to play that game. Obviously, at this point in the season, that gets really difficult to shoehorn games in, and it's a conference game, so you have to get it in before the sectional. Talk about how moving that game, not playing on Saturday and having to move that to the last week of the regular season, how does that affect your grand scheme to get the girls ready for the sectional?
No, we had spent several days getting ready for Goshen, you know, and all of a sudden on Friday at 2:00, we learned that the Saturday game's not going to happen. So for us, it was a big mindset shift because we were going from preparing for Goshen and a zone defense. They're going to set in a 2-3, play a very slow-down type game to preparing for Homestead, which is going to be an up-tempo man-to-man. So for us, it was a lot of prep work as far as changing things, but moving that Goshen game, I guess what you could say the biggest problem with it is it prolongs my agony of trying to wrap up this conference and just worrying about those games in a sense of if I got it in on Saturday, this would be the wrap-up of conference. The coaches will tell you I get worked up about those, making sure we're prepared. But in reality, it turned out to be a good thing in preparation because Concord's going to play a 2-3 zone, and we've spent a lot of time prepping for Concord. They're a 2-3 zone, and that leads us to Tuesday, which it's just kind of two games that naturally fit together when it comes to the scouting and the preparation. So for us, it's not ideal. I'll tell you more next week after we know the sectional draw, if it's a good thing or bad thing. You just know when you play two teams or the same team twice in a short period of time, that becomes difficult. You know, we've experienced that in the past with playing Elkhart about a week apart, week and a half apart. That's the biggest downfall as far as moving that game the week before sectional, knowing we could possibly play him again the next week.
So then you have essentially one practice to get ready for a Homestead team that had lost to Fort Wayne Snyder the weekend before. We know Snyder's very good. The state still looks at them very highly. They're in the top five in 4A. They lose a close game to Snyder. They come to the Tiger Den. They didn't shoot well, and your kids shot the lights out. How much of their inability to score and shoot the way they normally shoot, how much of that was your kids' defense, and how much of it was that they just had a bad night?
You know, I think we definitely gave them some shots that they might have normally hit. But at the same time, I would like to credit our defense in the sense of we made them work for everything they were going to get. We worked hard in the day that we had to prep for them not to give, you know, Whitney Ankenbrook wide open threes. We worked hard on those types of things. And I thought the kids did a great job of carrying out the game plan. We, in my mind, we made the right kids shoot the right shots as far as what we wanted to accomplish defensively. You know, many times coaches think and players think, well, we're not going to give up shots. We're going to give up a shot. The key becomes let's make sure defensively we're trying to choose who's taking that shot and where they're taking it from. And I thought the kids did a great job of carrying out the scouting report and making the right people shoot from the right spots. Just a great, great defensive effort from our girls. And the one thing you probably noticed if you watched was we didn't press. One of two games probably this year that we didn't try to press someone. And I thought our defense was absolutely phenomenal in half court.
Okay, so help us who aren't coaches understand how you can manage who from the other team shoots the ball, especially when your team switches almost every time players cross over. And basketball is like a blender. The game is constantly moving. It's not like football where everything's moving in one direction. It's moving all over the place. How do the kids on the court keep track of all of that?
No, I think the big thing is the kids do a great job of scouting. We put the player personnel scouting part of this back on them. You know, you're going to walk into one of our scouting sessions and I'm going to ask the girls about each of their players and what they do. They know strengths and weaknesses of each player. The key for them is recognizing that, how we do that. You know, for example, a kid that we think is a catch-and-shoot player, you know, we talk all the time about running her off the line, make her put it on the floor, make her dribble, because at that point in time, percentages say she's going to pass if she's a catch-and-shoot kid. So a catch-and-shoot kid, we're going to run off the line, we're going to make her pass. You know, you get a different kid who maybe she's a driver first, you don't get quite as tight, you make her want to shoot that jump shot. There are ways you can do that. The key is if you are switching in a one possession, knowing who you have and what their one thing is. And I think that's the part of the game where I've simplified things. I used to give the kids about five things on each player. I just need you to know one. Are they a shooter? Are they a driver? What's that one thing that they do well that we can take away. So that's how we kind of work, you know, with that scheme of defense. Shooters, we make them drive. Drivers, we make them shoot jump shots. That's what I mean when I say we made them take the right shots. We made the right people take the right shots.
Let's talk a little bit more about the whole game planning thing. That's something that you had been delegating in the last couple of years anyway, and you've taken that back over. Talk about that process.
You know, I'm blessed with a great coaching staff, and a lot of that I started delegating out. Defense, I've still delegated out to Coach Spiker. Coach Spiker does a great job with the defense. Coming back from the two losses down in Indy, the coaches were getting ready to meet to game plan for Northridge, and Coach Spike kind of challenged me a little bit. And that's one thing I appreciate about Coach Spike, because he isn't a yes man. He's going to tell me the honest truth. We sat down, and before we got started, he said, "Coach, can I be honest with you?" I'm like, "I don't know if I can say no to that, because you're going to anyway."
True.
And he said, "I don't think you're having fun anymore coaching. I think you're trying to figure out where you fit in this picture, and what you do well is the scouting, the game planning, that type of thing. I need you to go back doing that." He really challenged me, and so that is what I love to do. I love to sit down and watch film and break it down and find player tendencies. I love that part of the game. And, you know, starting with Northridge, I went back to that and really watching film. We had gotten to the point where we're going to press you, we're going to do this, we're just going to try to be better than you, and there wasn't a lot of game prep from game to game. Since Northridge, we've really started to game prep more. I would like to think you can see that in how we're playing and how prepared the kids are. And to the kids' credit, they are picking up what we want them to do.
I think one of the keys to this success in the 2024 part of the schedule has been you went to the girls and said, "What we've been doing hasn't been working, and it hasn't been working as well as we would like, for sure. I'm going to put some structure back into this, especially at the offensive end." I thought when you told me you were going to do that, I thought this is not going to go over well. The girls loved it, and they certainly have thrived in it.
No, I think about my own kids. They might not like the curfew. They might not like the rules at home. They might not like, but in reality, they do. They like the guardrails a little bit. I feel like that's what we did, was we just put some guardrails on the offensive end a little bit more. We were asking 14 to 18-year-old kids to make decisions on who was shooting from where and where the mismatch was. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. And so that part of the game we took back a little bit to help them figure out where the ball needed to go. You know, I guess when you get a group of kids who are trying to figure that out, it can naturally just cause some friction, because they might not agree with the decision that was made. It's natural when you have that freedom. And so I guess the thing is, if they're going to be frustrated with who's shooting, they're all going to be frustrated together at me. And at least they're unified. I can live with that. You know, and I think that's what you're starting to see. With our group, they're understanding the structure and understanding why we're calling what we're calling. They still have the freedom to play, and that's in transition in about the first 3 to 5 seconds once the ball's across half court. And there's their freedom, and I think you're seeing us push the ball a little bit more in that sense, because they know they have a limited time before those guardrails come on.
You end the 2023 calendar year with those 8 games. 7 of which were on the road. The home game was Columbia City, very difficult stretch. Your girls go 3-5. They come back out. Northridge is here. They beat them, and they've won those 3 games in a row, and everything is trending up. And then you get really bad news in the middle of the week. Talk about what's going on with Jocelyn.
After the Homestead game, I came in the next day to find out that during the Homestead game, Jocelyn somehow, somewhere, suffered a broken nose. They think it's a broken nose. We're waiting on the final results of some x-rays that maybe she'll get on Monday. They think that that's the case. The crazy part is we don't remember. She doesn't remember. She doesn't know if she got hit with the ball, if she got hit with the shoulder, if she got hit. We're trying to figure this out. There was no blood. There was nothing that happened. And so she went to an ENT on Thursday, and they're wanting to get this fixed ASAP. Not sure what that means yet, if it's being reset, if it means surgery. We're waiting on how this is all going to play out. But there is a possibility that if this procedure happens immediately, she could be out for 4 to 6 weeks, which means we would lose her for the rest of the season. It is what it is. It's a young lady who's 15, 16 years old that, you know, obviously a nose is a part of your body that everybody's going to see. It has to be fixed, and it has to be fixed right. I'm going to respect that decision with whatever's made that's best for her. I love these kids as players, second as people, first. And not the news we wanted to hear, but like I said, we've got to get that taken care of, because that's a lifetime deal of how this gets fixed.
Concord tonight, you already talked about what you expect from them. They got a brand new coach. Brandon Abel is their coach. Their record is right around the 500 mark. They're not playing the strongest teams, but they have been not playing the strongest teams, and they've been losing anyway. So they're clearly better than what they have been. What are some of the keys and the things we can look for in tonight's game?
No, I don't know that I've ever really talked to Brandon in person. We've exchanged film, we've exchanged emails, but I think Brandon is doing a heck of a job with this Concord team. Utmost respect for the job he's done. He's bringing some structure, he's bringing some fundamentals, he's bringing some discipline to this group. They understand what he wants them to do, and they're trying to go do what he wants them to do. And you're seeing the results of that labor. You know, they beat Bethany, they beat Plymouth, they're winning some games that in the past they haven't won. And that's what concerns me about tonight's game, is that possibility of them coming in. I think they've won 3, if not 4 in a row. They're going to come in confident. They're going to come in ready to play. He's just doing a great job. He's got them organized. They're going to play a 2-3 zone. Unless he throws us for a loop tonight, that's everything that we've seen. And, you know, they don't want a high possession game. You look at their offensive average. They want that 39, 40, 45-point game, and we can't have that tonight. We need to ramp this thing up in the high 50s, 60s or more. And so you're going to see a pace today from us that's trying to do that, which means some more full-court defense like we have in the past.
It's senior night, and you have one, and that's Delaney. And this has not been the senior year that she envisioned this summer when she was getting ready for it. Talk about what she means to the program, and again, talk about when she was injured at the beginning of the year, how her attitude was still very positive.
You know, Juan Delaney is a kid. Let me ask a question that's a rhetorical question that I think everybody that's listening can understand. How often does a kid go 4 years knowing they only play maybe a year, at the most a year and a half of varsity sports? In today's world, that's unheard of. A kid sticking it out for that long. We live in a world that they want the highest possible results right now, and if not, I'm going to go someplace where I can get that. That's the world we live in. And so I admire Delaney's perseverance to get to this point, because like you said, it hasn't gone the way you would draw it up. She got injured all the way back in August, the 1st of September, when we started workouts. At first, we thought it could be an ACL tear. Turned out to be a bone bruise and some more complications there. She's on crutches for 2 months, working her way back. And the kid put the work in to do what she needed to do to get back on the court. She was determined to get back. Even when she was on crutches, she's standing right at the basket, working on her form, sitting in a chair, working on her form. And I think you've seen the results of that work. I think she's shooting the ball as well as I've seen her shoot the ball. Coming from Delaney, I just love her work ethic. I love her passion. I love her perseverance. That's a life skill that is going to benefit her down the road. Many kids, they get injured at that point. They're going to give up. They're going to say, I'm not going to have very many games to play my senior year. Delaney didn't. She She still showed up every day and was there for her team. And I love her and appreciate that about her. I do want to mention we do have three senior managers. And let me tell you something, trying to replace three senior managers, I love these three girls dearly. Once again, today's world doesn't reward, doesn't recognize servants' hearts. It doesn't recognize people who are of service to others. We live in a world where it's all about me. And these three young ladies have been part of the program for 4 years. And their whole role has been to serve others. Alyssa Owens, Jaden Owens, and Lina Humich. I love these three girls dearly. We laugh as a coaching staff in a sense of we're going to struggle to replace those three kids because they've been such a key part of what we do. And I just love these four seniors dearly. For all of them to be a part of the program for 4 years, they have a special place.
When you're talking about girls' teams or boys' teams, a lot of times the managers are thinkers, right? They are smart kids who aren't funny, don't laugh out loud, very quiet, reserved to themselves. And these three girls could not be less that. These three have quite the personalities. They are fun to be around.
They are a great group to be around. You know, you get Lina, you're never going to doubt what mood Lina is in.
No.
You're never going to doubt that. And that's what I love about her. You know, she's real with her emotions. She's real. Same thing with Alyssa and Jaden. They're quiet spoken until you get to know them. You know, we took them out to lunch the one day and just had a great time talking with them. They're just amazing kids, and for them to want to do what they did for 4 years, that's a tribute to their parents and the type of kid that they have raised. Absolutely love these four girls. For me to be able to show up, you know, I'm getting ready to head to the school to show up and know that they're going to have things set up. They're going to have things ready to go. They're going to, it's almost like having three more coaches on the staff to get things ready. Those three kids, like I said, great kids. If you don't know them, by golly, I would encourage you to sit down and have a conversation with them.
Okay. We'll see you tonight.
Yep. Thank you.
Lenny Krebs and the Lady Tigers. Again, the schedule for today for the girls, the JV girls game begins at 6 o'clock in the Career Center gym against Concord. And then the varsity game will start right after the senior night ceremonies, which follow the boys varsity game in the Tiger Den. And we'll have all of that for you on News Now Warsaw. And the coaches and the players today being fed by the Warsaw Donut Shop on South Buffalo Street in Warsaw. And we appreciate them doing that for us. When we come back, Matt Moore will talk about last night's loss at Concord, preview what's coming up today against Goshen. That's next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Whether your business is on the farm or in town, Crossroads Bank wants to help you succeed. That's why Crossroads Bank offers competitive rates and friendly service with their business loans. Visit crossroadsbanking.com or in person at their locations in Columbia City, North Manchester, Peru, South Whitley, Syracuse, Wabash, or Warsaw. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet, Crossroads Bank.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball. Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin, and hair. All bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Get a fresh start to the new year with a visit to Reinhold's Town Square Furniture in Warsaw for the January clearance sale. You'll find specially marked items throughout the store that give you sweet savings on furniture that will look great in your home. Check out our terrific line of premium mattresses and take advantage of special closeout savings on select models. Visit reinholdsfurniture.com and hurry into 118 West Main Street in Warsaw today for the January clearance sale.
Hello, I'm Jay Rigdon with Rock Hill Pinnock. We're proud to sponsor another year of Tiger basketball, another year of boys and girls getting ready, working hard, and preparing for their upcoming games. Are you prepared for your future? At Rock Hill Pinnock, we create wills, trusts, and other documents that will help you be ready for your future and your family's future, whatever that future brings. We have more legal experience than anyone in the area. And why would you trust your family's future with anything less? Call 267-6116 for an appointment. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Morning, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Good. So one of the things that I always find fascinating is when the teams from the Tigers that lose, whether it's football or boys and girls basketball, when they get a chance to watch the film, sometimes the what they see in the film doesn't match up with what they saw in real time. And I know that happens for me, and I'm sure it happens for you guys. You went back and watched the film last night. You were up very late, I know. Talk about what you saw in the film and how it matched up with what you saw in real time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good perspective. I mean, I think, you know, when you mine for gold, you don't look for dirt, right? And so the things that we're looking for through the week that we think we can exploit are the things that we're trying to focus on in real time in the game. And, you know, we had opportunities throughout the game to utilize some of that stuff. But, again, I think, you know, you start to look at trends of your team, and we've now played two teams that are very well coached, that are switching pack line style teams, and in Wauwatosa and now in Concord. And we have not done a good job as a staff of, you know, we've had a lot of success in a variety of ways through our season with different types of teams. And in those two instances, the physicality has really bothered us. And so the things that we were looking for last night that we practiced throughout the week, we just were not able to execute consistently at the level that we needed. And, you know, like I said, the officials write the rules every night. You know, we fouled 20 times to their 9. I don't, you know, half the time we were in a zone defense trying to pressure and trap. At the end of the game, obviously, we're fouling to try to catch up. But we've got to also find ways to minimize those fouls and some of those driving opportunities that we didn't do as good of a job last night. And so, you know, those things get highlighted as you're looking through and sifting through all the dirt for us, because it's what we emphasized all week long, specifically on skips and backside attacks and throwing the ball inside. And we just didn't get a lot of consistent opportunity at those things.
One of the things that defense, which is Jack Edison, the longtime Plymouth coach, and now Michael, his son, at LaVille, with Jack as an assistant coach, they're using that defense there. And Jack, of course, is in the Hall of Fame because in large part of that defense and the pack line defense that Coach Ogle used and others have used that we have run across. One of the things it does is it just doesn't give you any clear driving opportunities, right? You know that if you work off a screen at the top, you're going to turn the corner and there's going to be at least one guy behind the guy in front of you. And that almost makes it where you have to make shots from the outside to succeed. Did it feel like that to you last night?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the making shots is definitely something you have to do. But I still don't think you go away from who you are. And I think who we are, you know, we talk about the term the box. The box for us is the volleyball line right in the middle of the free throw lane to the backboard. And we've kind of emphasized that and minimized that space. And, you know, their defense is built to protect that. And our offense, in most cases, is built to get the basketball there. Whether you throw it in there, whether you drive it in there, whether you rebound it in there, that's what we want to do. And, you know, I thought the timing of things, though, with teams that understand who they are defensively and their identity, timing is so critical. And so we had opportunities with switching and with matchups and even positioning with Luke that we just delivered the ball a second too late, which allows defenders then to fight around, and now it's going the other way in transition rather than us catching it and having that matchup advantage.
Your guys clearly did try to drive to the basket. for baskets and for fouls. And one of the things that we talked about after the game was, in those situations, there was only one option. I'm going to the basket and I'm going to shoot it. And it was several guys that found themselves in that same spot. And what they ended up doing was not driving to the basket, not pulling up and shooting it, but then they started to veer down the side of the lane or even back out more toward the corner and shoot really hard shots that NBA major college basketball guys have trouble shooting.
Yeah, I was that surprised me because I had not really seen it. And I don't think at all it was a willingness to have the effort or the desire to win. I did not think that we competed all night long. I think it was 5:06 to go. We're down six with the ball. And we come down and we miss a shot. And we get a stop. And we come down around 3:48, down six. And a different guy takes a jump shot. And we get a stop. And we come down six with 2:58 to go. And a different guy takes a jump shot. And none of them were really in the flow of, you know, anything that we would identify with, we're emphasizing this action. Robbie hits a three, about 2 minutes to go to cut it to three, and we call a timeout. And then we come out of the timeout, and we just get simply beat deep, and we give up an and one. And so I think those are the moments that this group in particular has to really lean into. And, whatever they feel comfortable in collectively, they've got to be on the same page. And we're trying to do what we can from the sideline, but that is kind of the double edge that we've talked about with this group that, Carson talks, but we're struggling to get Luke Bricker to communicate. We're struggling to get Brant Martin to communicate at the level that we need them to. Because in that environment, you can't always just look over at me and you don't know what I'm saying, right? So their communication level together and feeling like they're on the same page, we're just going to have to continue to grow in those areas.
With their band playing during the timeouts, I don't even know with your guys huddled 3 feet from you how you communicate with people. We haven't seen that 1-2-2 half-court trap a lot, but it was pretty effective last night. It certainly caused Concord a lot of issues. Might that come up more often?
Yeah, I mean, so much of it depends on their ball handlers. They're very poised in their ability to pass it, to space the floor, and to not over dribble and put themselves in bad spots. I thought Carson was extremely active in it. I didn't do a good job in the start of the game. We added a three-quarter court press, and we had talked about their deep gaps, but we really didn't go over to the level that we needed to, and they hit their first three in deep gap against that, and then the secondary rotation the next time they hit another three, and they hit six threes, they go 6 for 13, they're shooting 30% on the year. Those are big shots. Obviously you want to live with the outcome of giving up shots to a team that's not shooting it well, but credit to them for making it. But for us, they're so patient offensively, and you can wear yourself down, guarding for 50 seconds in a possession, and then you give a drive, and there's an and one or whatnot. So we just, the lesser of the two evils at that time was, let's make them stand in gaps. Let's try to use our length and athleticism to really kind of speed them up a little bit. And we did a good job of that in pockets, and I think that's something that we'll explore. But again, I think as guys get tired, I think our guys have to really kind of lean into that competitive side of who they are, and kind of give that next level of effort that it's going to take when you start to fatigue.
One of the things that I really like about Derek Deshone, the coach at Concord, is he's a straight shooter. He's a young guy, but he tells you the truth. And when the game was over last night, he was so impressed with the toughness of his team. And one of the things he went to talk about in that area to prove his point was how they got offensive rebounds on free throws. And the one they got, they only had one guy in the lane, and he just walked right around in front of our guy who did not try to block him out. That had to be really disappointing.
Yeah, no, I that's, as you look back, our offensive pursuit, we had four offensive rebounds, two of which were team rebounds. they had eight. And I think that just goes to show, like, the determination of where they are at as a group, I think is very evident. Like, there's wanting to win and wanting to not lose are two different things. And I think they wanted to win last night. And I think our guys kind of just didn't want to lose. And offensive rebounds, charges. And I wasn't upset in the locker room at all. I think so much of coaching that people don't see behind the scenes is honestly, it's a lot like parenting. We tell our kids what to do and how to do it, but they still have to go out and make decisions, right? And so giving people discernment to make those decisions is important. And I wanted my guys to understand that, you know, we had three characteristics. I asked them, what are three traits of champions? And they said toughness, they said togetherness, and they said effort. And I added to that a willingness. You know, we've had two players take charges this year. Five of the six that we've taken are from one guy, Drew Sullivan, which isn't a surprise. Carson took the other one. There's a willingness there that we haven't been able to give from Robbie, from Luke, from other guys, Grant, Maiden, that you can step in and take a charge. That's a willingness that you have to give to the team. And until you're willing to do those things, you're hoping that things go your way, and hope is a bad strategy. And I think that's something that as that group looks at each other, what are they willing to do more than they're doing to get us further along that line? Because we're a good team, no question about it. We're going to win games. But for us to be a great team, you know, the three games that we just played, Northridge, game winner, Penn, overtime, this game, a meat grinder, there's a good chance that you're going to play in that order on a Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. And so you're going to have to be more willing to do things that you're not doing right now. And I think we can see that. And I don't want to say it exposed us, but it has kind of brought us back to the reality of, you know, we could get beat, but we're good enough to win the whole thing too. And so we just got to keep that in perspective and push forward in the things that we can get better at.
There are a lot of teams going to be at Northside Gym that last week of January and the last weekend of February and the first weekend of March that are going to be saying that same kind of thing. Because the game got canceled last Friday, you knew even before Friday that if it got canceled on Friday, that there's a real possibility it could move to Saturday, and you'd have this unique situation where you're playing a conference game on Friday and another conference game on Saturday, because normally you have a conference game on Friday and a non-con the following day. Now here you are with back-to-back games. You have a Goshen team that is struggling. They are dealing with the loss of one of their best players, maybe their best player, to an injury. And they're coming to the Tiger Den wounded just like you guys are. Really fascinating game.
Yeah. You don't know how those things play out. I would have liked to play last week. I thought we were in a good rhythm. I thought we were confident. We had 10 days off between games. But, you know, things also play out how they're exactly supposed to in my mind. So we're not going to be the what if and what could have, should have been. But the reality is you get a chance to return tonight and kind of repatch some of your focus in a direction that we need to go. And I think the last time that they did that in Wawasee, I thought the response was excellent. And maybe just, you know, refreshing a little bit. And, you know, we're not out of the race by any means. We need some things to definitely go our way. But we're going to have to handle our business. And I think our ability, you know, I drew four circles on the board last night, and the outside circle was who. The next inside circle was what. The next inside circle was how. And the circle in the middle was why. And it doesn't matter who's across from you. I think sometimes we focus on that too much. Doesn't matter what you do, right? What you're running, what your defense is. Really doesn't matter how you go about doing it, what your strategy is. You've got to figure out your why. And so for this group, they've got to come together and decide, why do we want to put in the effort that it's going to take to do something special? And as they define that, we cannot define that for them. As they define that, these games, whether it's, you know, this game tonight or the Northwood game next week or the Elkhart game, like, those are three unique situations, but the why in those games shouldn't change. And as they define that and they find that, I think you're going to start seeing us play with some more enthusiasm for one another than maybe what we have thus far.
Okay, and it's an afternoon game. So how does that change that with the JV starting at 4:30, which is very unusual, does that change your pregame protocol? Does it change how you do stuff? Do you tell the kids to eat it in a different way?
Yeah, definitely the rhythm is different, right? Because, you know, we're getting there about an hour and a half earlier than we typically would. So, you know, our walkthrough's at 10. We're probably going to watch film from last night because I think there are some things that we need to shore up before we move on. We don't typically do that as a team, but then, you know, we're back at 3:30, JV tip at 4:30, game at 6. Like, the rhythm is definitely different. And so I like the 6 o'clock start. I requested that when we knew this game was getting moved. I didn't want to mess with what the girls had going on with their senior night and the celebration of that. And there's a good chance that you play in a 6 o'clock slot at some point in the sectional. So having those experiences, I think, are really good. And I think, you know, it's not going to break our rhythm. We just got to focus on doing what we're supposed to do.
And there will be one thing that's different tonight. Number one is going to be in uniform. It'll be good to have Trey Davis back on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him back with us. He's had a good week of practice. And, yeah, we just got to kind of close rank and refocus on what's important in front of us and leave what's behind us behind us.
Okay, we'll see you this afternoon.
Great, thank you.
Matt Moore of the Warsaw Tigers. Again, the JV game begins at 4:30. We'll go on at 4:25 on News Now Warsaw, and we'll broadcast the JV boys, the varsity boys, the girls' senior night ceremony, and the girls' game with Concord, all on News Now Warsaw, again, starting at 4:25. When we come back, we'll run through the other scores and schedules for the other teams at Warsaw competing this winter, and that's next here on Tiger Talk, driven by RB Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Car stalls won't start. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Wrecking any state and need the best rates. Take the next step. Call Riker Dinep. Go with the guys who got the best tools. If you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you. Bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Call Riker Dinep to come get you.
Remember, when you get in a wreck,
call Riker Dinep.
You see a chipped or cracked windshield. We see it repaired or replaced by specialists. At our place, or yours, our glass doctor specialists use original equipment glass, special sealants, and a 28-point installation checklist. If your windshield is damaged or broken within 12 months, we'll replace the glass free. That's the Glass Doctor exclusive G12 road hazard guarantee. Visit glassdoctor.com for information on repairing or replacing your windshield.
Call the Glass Doctor.
This is Dr. Steve Holler, former Warsaw Tiger basketball player. Holler Dental Group is a three-generation, locally owned dental practice. We are located in front of Edgewood Middle School and have been helping Tiger fans for almost 60 years. We have a highly trained and talented doctor team and a caring staff that all live, work, and play in this community. Check us out for a second opinion or a new patient visit at hollerdentalgroup.com. Rip 'em up, tear 'em up, go Tigers!
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
Let's start with swimming. Now, we got to go back a week because, remember, we weren't here last week because of the weather. So, let's go back to January 6th. Warsaw swimmers took on Concord. That was on a Saturday. And we start with the 200 medley relay, the team of Brooke Shimasaki and Elizabeth Joselis and Anna Stevens and Marissa Howitt finished in third. In the boys' race, the team of Josh Warner, Michael Webster, Ethan Farrar, and Jonah Potter came in second. In the 200 free for the girls, Elizabeth Joselis was third. In the boys' race, Griffin Brown was second and Alex Bowers was third. In the 200 IM for the girls, Anna Stevens was fourth. And in the boys' race, Josh Warner finished in second. In the girls' 50 free, Marissa Howitt was second. For the boys, Diego Manwaring was second. In the diving competition, Sophia Stewart finished in fourth for the Tigers. She was the best finisher. In the boys' one-meter diving, Warsaw swept the top three spots, as they do a lot. Ian Parrott won with a score of 304.80. Skylar Crutch was second. Dallas Lancaster came in third. In the boys' 100 butterfly, boys' 100 butterfly, you had Kaylin Swinehart finish in second, and Josh Warner came in third. In the girls' 100 free, Marissa Howitt won that race with a time of 56.92, and Veronica Smith was third. In the boys' 100 free, Diego Manwaring was Warsaw's best finisher in third place. And the 500 free, Elizabeth Joselis was third in the girls' race, and the boys went 2-3 in the boys. Alex Bowers and Elijah Zog came in second and third. In the girls' 200 free relay, the team of Brooke Shimasaki and Anna Stevens, Ariel Strange, and Marissa Howitt came in second. And the boys' team also came in second. That's Griffin Brown, Kaylin Swinehart, Elijah Zog, and Josh Warner. In the girls' 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki came in second place. In the boys' race, Griffin Brown was second, and Ethan Farrar was third. In the girls' 100 breaststroke, Anna Stevens was third. In the boys' race, Kaylin Swinehart was third. In the girls' 400 free relay, the team of Veronica Smith, Ariel Strange, Lucy Ray, and Elizabeth Joselis was third. And in the boys' 400 free relay, Griffin Brown, Elijah Zog, Kaylin Swinehart, and Ethan Farrar came in second. Final meet scores, Concord beat Warsaw in the girls' event, 130-56, and Concord won the boys' two, 109-77. Then the conference swim meet was held on Monday. The prelims were run on Thursday as scheduled. Saturday they didn't get the finish, so they finished on Monday, which worked out good because the schools in the conference had Martin Luther King Jr. Day off. So they ran that about 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Northridge. And in the finals, in the events that were held, in the 200 medley relay, Warsaw's team of Elizabeth Joselis, Anna Stevens, Brooke Shimasaki, and Marissa Howitt came in fifth. Elizabeth Joselis was seventh in the 200 freestyle race. In the 200 IM, Anna Stevens was 10th. She was Warsaw's best finisher. In the girls' 50 free, Marissa Howitt was fourth, and Ariel Strange finished in seventh. In the diving competition, Sophia Stewart was second with a score of 352.25. That's about 31 points behind the winner from Mishawaka. And Tatiksha Gori was fourth for the Tigers with a score of 318.50. Brooke Shimasaki was fifth in the 100 butterfly. Marissa Howitt was fifth in the 100 freestyle. In the 500 free, Elizabeth Joselis was sixth. The Warsaw 200 free relay team of Anna Stevens, Brooke Shimasaki, Haley Strange, and Marissa Howitt came in third. In the 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki was seventh. In the 100 breaststroke, Anna Stevens was ninth. In the 400 free relay, the team of Ariel Strange, Veronica Smith, Lucy Ray, and Elizabeth Joselis came in fifth. Warsaw finished fourth in the conference behind Concord, who won it with a score of 469. Northridge was second, 352. Wauwatosa was third, 329. And then the Tigers with 279. Plymouth, Goshen, Northwood, and Mishawaka finished in that order. The gymnastics team took on East Noble, and that was on the 9th, so a week ago Tuesday. And again, we're catching up because we had missed some stuff because of not having a show last Saturday. For the Lady Tigers, Lucy Vossler won the vault competition with a score of 8.750. Adesia Wells was fourth at 8.550. On the bars, Adesia Wells was second with a score of 6.7. And on the beam, it was Lucy Vossler finishing in third with a score of 6.950. In the floor exercise, Adesia Wells was tied for fourth with a score of 7.825. And the team scores, East Noble beat Warsaw 91.95 to 82.025. In the all-round competition, Adesia Wells was second, Lucy Vossler third, and Liliana Rack finished in fourth. The Tiger wrestling team finished up their dual meet season at Triton on Wednesday, and they won 60-18. It did not get off to a very good start for the varsity. We'll tell you more about that in a second. The JV won three of the four contests that were competed. Leo Castro and Chris Figueroa picked up wins at 144 and 150, and Ethan Cook won by pin at 215. Then the varsity got started, and things started badly. Tigers were down 9-0 to start with wins for the Trojans at 138 and 144. Danny Moon and Aaron Ross got the Tigers on the board with first period wins at 150 and 157. A.J. Smith added 6 points via forfeit at 165. That gave Warsaw an 18-9 advantage. Wins by Triton, 175 and 190, put it tied at 18-18, and Warsaw won out for the rest of the night. Cam Kaufman and Beckham Boylan brought home pinfall wins at 215 and 285. Donovan Frazier and Bryce McNeese collected forfeits at 106 and 113. And then the trio of Owen Barker, Casey Smith, Gabe Veit all wrapped up their night with first period pins at 120, 126, and 132 to cap off the scoring, 60-18 Tigers. Warsaw finishes the regular season with a record of 11-10. The freshman boys last week in basketball lost to Goshen 55-49, came back Thursday and beat Concord 39-28. Grady Nelson had 9 points. Kai Asay added 9 points. Cooper Davis, 7 points. Timmy Yeager, 6 points. Tucker Reed added 6 for the Tigers in the victory. That brings us to the current. The freshman girls are hosting a little get-together. It's not a full four-team tournament. They only have 3 teams competing, but the girls are playing 2 games in the Tiger Den this morning, and that is already underway. Also, the swimming and the diving teams are competing at the Mishawaka Invitational this morning. That's already underway. The boys JV wrestling team is at an invitational, and that has started at Plymouth already today, while the varsity team is wrestling at Mishawaka in the NLC Championships, and that will be later on this afternoon. Then, of course, we have basketball in the Tiger Den this evening with the boys JV taking on Goshen at 4:30, the boys varsity taking on Goshen at 6 o'clock. At the same time, the girls JV will be taking on Concord, and that will be in the Career Center gym starting at 6:15. And then the varsity girls game right after the senior night ceremonies as they take on Concord. And we'll have the JV boys, the varsity boys, the senior girls ceremonies, and the varsity girls game with Concord all here on News Now Warsaw starting at 4:25. Tuesday, the freshman boys host Oak Hill in the Career Center gym at 6. The girls freshman team, their game with Goshen on Tuesday has been canceled. The gymnastics team is hosting Peru and Wawasee. That will begin at 6 o'clock, and the junior varsity and varsity girls basketball teams will be at Goshen on Tuesday, and that will be at 6:15 as Lenny Krebs goes back to his old stomping grounds. Then on Thursday, the boys basketball freshman team will be hosting Northwood in the Career Center gym at 6. The freshman girls game against Northwood was canceled. Also on Thursday, the girls junior varsity and varsity teams will be playing for the first time ever against Angola, and that will be a 6 o'clock JV start. Our coverage begins at 7:10 on News Now Warsaw. And then the boys swimming team will have the prelims for the NLC Championships on Thursday, and that will be at Concord. Friday, the boys JV and varsity basketball teams will be on the road taking on Northwood, and we'll be on the air starting at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. One other quick thing to mention here at this point in the show, the Warsaw Tiger Wrestling Cup, the Warsaw Tiger Wrestling Club for 2024 starts this next week. It's open to all students, grades K-6, and it's not restricted just to Warsaw. It's open to anybody, and that will start on January the 23rd, which is Tuesday, and that starts in the wrestling room. And it will be every Tuesday and Thursday from 6 to 7:15 until March the 28th. Now, it's in the wrestling room. There's not a lot of place for parents to sit and watch. So they highly encourage you to drop your child off at the wrestling room and then go do something else, because there's just not a lot of room there to be able to watch and cheer. The cost for this is $60, okay? It's $60 for the first wrestler, $40 for the second, $20 for any additional wrestlers in your family. You can register in person on the night of the first practice. If you have questions, we have posted an article about this with Coach Huber's email at warsaw-tigers.com, so you can find that and check it out and download all the forms. I posted all the forms in there for you so that you can go on there, post them, and have them ready when you show up on Tuesday night or whenever you can get started. We'll come back and wrap things up here on Tiger Talk. It's driven by these people.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
And now for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company. Here's Roger.
I am blessed. You have heard me say that before. I continue to be blessed, and I'm so grateful that I have people like Lenny and Matt that come in here on Saturday mornings and win or lose. Doesn't matter. Their demeanor is the same. We're all disappointed at what happened last night, but it's always great to have Matt in here and share his insight into basketball because I learn something every time that he and Lenny come in. So I thank them, especially this morning, for their time on this cold Saturday morning. Lots going on at the high school today. Again, the freshman girls are playing now. You have a middle school classic event going on in the T-Rack today. Edgewood is involved in that. I'm headed there as soon as I'm done here. And then, of course, you have everything going on in the Tiger Den and the Career Center gym this afternoon and this evening. So I hope that you will come to the Tiger Den. I specifically, if you're coming to the boys game, can I just encourage you in the strongest of ways to stay? To stay for the girls' game, to stay and salute the senior girls during their ceremony, and then stay and watch this girls' team play. They are really starting to round into form at all the right times. So I just wanted to say that up front. And I also just want to take a minute before we sign off today and send out our best wishes to people that we have lost in the last few days here in the Warsaw community that mean a lot to us. Jill Jackson was a teacher at the high school and was the assistant director of the career WACC, passed away after her two-year battle with cancer. She was just 42 years old, and she leaves behind her husband, Kyle, and two little ones. And so our thoughts and prayers are with her family as they're dealing with this awful thing. We talked about a little bit last night. Jeremy Neely's father passed away on Monday, which made Alexis' performance in the game on Tuesday against Homestead all the more impressive. She just is a very impressive young lady, and if you ever went to a girls' basketball game, you saw Grandpa Neely there. He was right there cheering for Alexis and was very proud of her, and our hearts are broken for the Neelys as they go through all of that. And then we got word late yesterday morning, that Dennis Van Dyne, a lot of you know him as a coach and a teacher at Warsaw, an educator for 40 years with Superintendent Wes Noble. He'd been sick for a couple of years, and he passed away yesterday. And so we're going to have those obituaries posted on our website at newsnowwarsaw.com. But I just wanted to mention that this morning, that we are broken for those families as they are broken, but all very positive about their futures and where they're at right now. And we share that joy in the Lord with them. So thank you for listening this morning. Thanks to the sponsors. We have room for more. If you would like to sponsor, if you'd like to get your business on, we would love to have you. Call our office, 574-372-3064, and we will be glad to get you set up for this next week's games. It's going to get pretty exciting around here. Stay tuned. Gary Sullivan is coming up next.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger Sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana.